Well, you know, Bill Monroe, the bluegrass band, the bluegrass boys, in the ensuing years, basically a training ground for all of Bill's future competition. He had Mac Wiseman and Don Reno and Jimmy Martin and Carter Stanley, and just all these incredible musicians that went on to form their own bands. And in 1963, I went to hear Bill Monroe and his bluegrass boys at NYU, New York University, where I was a student. And he had a great band that evening. He had Bessie Lee Malden on the string bass, and he had Kenny Baker on the fiddle, Jack Cook on the guitar, and a young banjo player who was playing with Jack Cook at the time, named Del McCurry. And that was Del's first gig with Bill Monroe, and I was witness to that, and I'll tell you, he didn't miss a note on that banjo.
And,
and Bill offered him a permanent job that night, and I'll let Del tell the rest of the story.
Well, yeah, it's true, up until that point, you know, I had never played with Bill Monroe, and I was playing with a guitar player who was an ex-bluegrass boy from Bill's band from the late 50s. He came to Baltimore. He actually came first to play with a band called the Stonemans. Any of you folks here remember the Stonemans?
Stonemans.
Or the Bluegrass Champs. They did. They had 22 kids. He's right about that. Pop Stoneman was one of the first people to record country music in Bristol, Virginia, or Tennessee, wasn't it? There's a lot of arguments about that, but I guess it was Tennessee, wasn't it? Yeah, along with.
Some of the kids were in Tennessee and
some were in Virginia. Yeah, you're right, yeah. Now, we're going way back, and this story could get long. How'd we get on the country music story? But anyway, Jack played guitar with Bill in the late 50s, and he happened to move up there to play with the Stonemans. They had a TV show in Washington, D.C., D.C., and it was on Channel 5, and they lost their TV show, and so Jack moved to Baltimore and got a job with Earl Taylor and the Stony Mountain Boys. He was playing with those guys there, I think before they went and did the, I think it was before they went and played Carnegie Hall, I think it was. So anyway, then Jack got, he kind of got disillusioned with that job, and he got his own band and was playing a little bar there in Baltimore, just off Baltimore Street, and I happened to come along and start playing banjo with him. And Bill Monroe walked in one night, you know, and I thought, that guy looks like Bill Monroe, but it was an awful small club, you know, and he had a big white hat on, and I thought, that can't be Bill Monroe, because he belongs on the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. But it was Bill, and he took me and Jack with him to New York City and played, and I was offered a job like David said. I was offered a job that night, but I didn't take the job. I kind of liked playing with Jack Cook, because we were both kind of same age, you know, and I was afraid of that big city in Nashville. You ever been there? It ain't that big, is it? But they did have the Grand Ole Opry, and I'd listened to that since I was a kid, you know. And so finally another friend of mine named Bobby Diamond, he said, you know, a lot of guys would kill for that job. You were offered that job? And I said, yeah, but I like playing with Jack, you know. And he said, look, if you'll take that job, I'll drive you down there. And I thought, that's a pretty good offer, you know. So I went down, and like I said, now this story could get long.
Well, let me interject. Unbeknownst to Del at the time, Bill also offered the same position as banjo player to an old friend of both of ours, but Del didn't know him at the time.
Yeah.
William Bradford Keith.
Know who that is?
Who was an amazing banjo player and had innovated a new style. And they both showed up the same day and walked into the lobby of the Clarkson Hotel with two banjo cases, and I'll let I'll pick it up from there.
Funny how that story was, too. You know, Bill Monroe said, now, if you come, when you do come, if you take a notion you'll take this job, just come to Nashville and go up on 7th Avenue and check in at the Clarkston Hotel, which is right next to the National Life and Accident Insurance Company, who sponsored the Grand Ole Opry. And they had a Friday night opera in that building. You know, it was at the Ryman Auditorium on Saturday night, always. But there you go. You've been there, huh? They're there now, because we moved there in the wintertime. I'm a member now. But anyway, they moved there in the wintertime because they have a big rockette show there at the regular Grand Ole Opry, you know. And anyway, I came down into the lobby that morning, and there's another guy standing there with a banjo, and I thought, I'd like to talk to that guy. We both wanted to talk to each other, I'm sure. But about that time, Bill Monroe walked in, and he said, come on, boys, follow me. And so he took us next door to a restaurant and bought us breakfast, and we never did get to talk to each other. Then he took us up to the National Life and Accident Insurance Building, and there was a room up there, and he had a guitar in that room, and I guess they probably used it for rehearsals and things, you know. And he told me, he said, Dale, you go get that guitar. It was sitting over there in the corner in a brown Gibson case. But it wasn't a Gibson, it was a Martin. And he had bought that thing in 1939, brand new. And everybody played it, you know, from a time. Well, when Bill Monroe joined the Opry, the first song he played on there was a Mule Skinner Blues, and he played guitar. He didn't play the mandolin, which he was famous for later on, you know. And so, anyway, I got the guitar, and I thought, now, I don't know what kind of deal this is. I'm a banjo player. What am I doing with a guitar? But I had played before, and I don't know how he knew that, but I had learned to play the guitar first before I ever learned to play the banjo, you know. And so then later on, Bill Keith told me, this is only about 5 years ago, he said, you know, I auditioned on guitar too that very day. And I said, you did? I didn't remember that. And he said, I'm no guitar player. And I said, well, when I heard you play, I was no banjo player either. So it worked out that Bill hired me on guitar and singing lead, and hired Bill Keith, Brad Keith, excuse me for that name. His name is actually Brad, you know. Bill said there can't be two Bills in one band. So
my name was Dell.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you that. But Bill said to him, I remember that day, in other words, he hired us both that way, and he said that to Brad Keith, he said, now, what is your full name? And Bill said, it's William Bradford Keith. He said, we'll call you Brad. That's the end of that story.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's a good thing for bluegrass history that that happened that way, I'll tell you. Otherwise, you might not be standing here right now. You might be playing banjo in some bar in Baltimore. You know?
for pennies.
Yeah. But, you know, when that band got in gear, you know, that was one of Bill's great bands, 1963 band, and I saw it quite a few times every chance I could get. And Bill always featured his lead singer on a solo number. And almost every time I'd hear that band, Dell would be singing this next song.